Good morning and welcome here. This is my first summer here at the church, so the first time experiencing the VBS here, and it's no joke. I'm glad I'm in the office this week because I will definitely be joining them. Welcome here. We're glad that you're here. I'm Pastor Jaredon, and we're going to get back into this series on Jonah this Sunday, so I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll be reading Jonah 3, verses 1 to 5. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. This is God's word. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Jonah and the call to mercy. I pray as I speak of your word this morning that you would anoint them to stir in our hearts and our minds, and that you would speak to each one here today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing this series this morning on the book of Jonah called God's Call to Mercy. And I started with the problem of mercy. Jonah did not understand how God could have mercy on evil people. So Jonah got up and he fled from the presence of God, going as far away as he could. But God hurled a storm after him. He came after Jonah, and the only way to get out was to be thrown in. Jonah is thrown into the storm, and the storm ceases. And God provides a fish to swallow up Jonah for 3 days and three nights, and he lives. There's life on the other side. This morning, we get to the part where Jonah speaks. I've titled this morning's message, "The Message of Mercy." Jonah has experienced mercy. Now he goes to speak mercy to Nineveh. And so we should be asking questions about this message, because as much as it's for Nineveh, it is also for us. This is God's message. So I have three questions about it. The first is, what is the message? The second is, what is it for? And the third is, what does it do? So again, what is the message? What is it for? And what does it do? So let's start with the first question. What is the message? What I've worked so hard to do so far in this series in Jonah is point you toward structural features of the book of Jonah. Because I think that biblical authors were very strategic about how they wrote things. And when we understand that, we get to see a little bit more about what they're communicating to us. So another feature that we notice is repetition. Jonah 1 verse 1 and 2 are virtually the same as Jonah 3 verse 1 to 2. So I've highlighted on the screen in red the words that are exactly the same. And when that happens, we should ask, what is different? What is different about the message? And the obvious thing, the thing that stands out most to us, is what God tells Jonah. In chapter 1, we learn that he's going because Nineveh's evil has come up before him. But in chapter 3, God's going to give Jonah a message. And so naturally we ask, what is the message? If you take notes in your Bible, I want you to underline that word, message. Because it's an important word. It means a proclamation And this word is used often in the Bible to talk about an important proclamation that God has for his people. And Jonah would have understood that this message likely would have to do with turning to God, turning in repentance to God. So he responds in a good fashion. In verse 3 it says, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Jonah obeys exactly how God said. And Jonah finally acts like a true prophet. Chapter 1, he ran away, and so we're confused about who Jonah is, but now we see a true prophet, one who receives God's word and delivers God's word just as he was told. So then we get some more details about Nineveh. We really haven't got much details other than the evil that has come up before them. And so we get another detail. It says, "Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey." So we're not given much details about Nineveh. In my first sermon, I shared some cultural things about them, some historical context about how evil they were. But this is one of the few details that we get about Nineveh, the size of it. Why would we need to know how big it is? If you were to compare it to a modern city, it's about the size of Toronto, 3 days' journey to walk across. Jonah goes 1 day into the city. Why only 1 day? A prophet, if given a message, would go to every household, every place around the city, more than 3 days, and speak the message. So why does Jonah only go 1 day? One thing that is very important for us, also when we're reading the Bible, is when we run into a number to question what it is doing. Three is a very important number. And the other place it is used in Jonah is the length of time he spent in the great fish. Nineveh is about the size of God's mercy. So Jonah goes into the heart of Nineveh, and all he had to do was proclaim one message to the whole city for them to turn. So he goes to center square, he stands up, and he speaks, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Everyone repents. Everyone turns. Greatest sermon ever heard. It's only 5 words in the Hebrew language, in the original language. 5 words. Did he speak the message of the Lord? Is this really what it is? The Bible is very strategic about the words chosen for Jonah's message. And I believe there are two things that this message Jonah delivers communicates to us as the reader. The first is, yet 40 days. So I've mentioned already about numbers in the Bible because they're associated with the stories connected to them. They help us to understand the theology behind it. So the number 40 is also a repeated number in Scripture. In the flood narrative, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Israel wandered in the wilderness in the book of Numbers for 40 years. Moses interceded for the people of Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah in 1 Kings 19 interceded for 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus was trialed in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. What they all have in common is trial. The 40-day time period is a trial period for turning. So the first part of the message is that Nineveh is going under trial. The second part of the message is Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Underline that word, overthrown. This is the same word God uses when he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, when he overthrew them. an illustration of what that looks like. It's like when you're washing dishes and you flip over the dish and you wash it completely clean. God is going to overturn them. He's going to judge them and completely cleanse them. So what this message says, to simplify it even more than five words, is that it is trial and judgment. Nineveh is going to go through trial and judgment. And the reason that I put so much detail into laying this out, into talking about it, is because it preaches. Trial and judgment are the things that Jesus also came to announce. This is congruent with the whole Bible message. Jesus talked about in Matthew 25 the separation of the sheep and the goats. And the reason for this is not a scare tactic meant for you to just turn and use Christianity as an insurance plan so that you're just good. This is designed for us to turn to God. And a way that I found is really helpful to think about this is from John 16, verses 8 to 11. Talking about the Holy Spirit as a helper. It says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. When I was making the small group content, the John study in the winter, as I was studying it, I find sometimes when you read a book of the Bible, there's one thing that stands out more than everything else. And these were the verses that stood out the most to me. The Holy Spirit was going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I found myself wondering, okay, well, what exactly is that? And I think the point is that we pray that. Lord, convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Holy Spirit, help us to understand sin, righteousness, and judgment. The message Jonah provides is a message for us to know God. And so that leads to the second question that we should ask. What is it for? We know that it is trial and judgment, but what is that for? We get what it's for in verse 5. It says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The biggest thing that happens after Jonah speaks this message is they believed God. They didn't believe Jonah, the one who just spoke to them the message. They believed in God. And so what is it for? It's for belief and action. Nineveh believes God. And they're motivated by their belief to action. They call a fast, which is to supplement food for dependence on God. They want to seek out the one true God. They put on sackcloth and lay in ashes. They humble themselves before God. They come before him and repent. They change. And so this message of belief and action is not me suggesting that that is our action as well. What the action is supplication to turn towards God. Belief always motivates action, because if we truly believe it in our hearts, that's what we pursue. That's what we want. And that leads to the last question. So we know this message is trial and judgment. And we know that It is for belief in action, that we should be motivated to believe and to act in the one God. But what is that for? Last week, I talked about the sign of Jonah in Matthew 12. And I talked about how just as Jonah was this historical prophet who was swallowed by a fish and then went and spoke to Nineveh, he was also what Jesus called a sign of the gospel. And so I want to go back to this passage in Matthew 12 because it also talks about this being a sign. And so what it says is in verse 40, as we read last week, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And then we get this hard change to verse 41. "The men of Nineveh will rise up at judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." There's two signs of Jonah. First, that he comes to life. Second, that all of Nineveh turns and believes God. And so why it matters is that there's a time crunch. There's a trial period for us to turn to God. There's a trial period that Nineveh was given, 40 days to turn. That was the mercy of the message. Turn to him. Believe in him. Turn to action and trust in the one true God. And again, this is not about treating Christianity as an insurance plan, that we turn, all of a sudden we're saved, and we're good. This is about being motivated to action because we believe in who he is. This is about praying for the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. Because we don't know those things on our own. And God was gracious enough to give us a helper. So I want to give three applications following these questions. The first application is know the gospel message. And what I mean by know is not just an articulation of the gospel, of Jesus coming to earth, dying, being buried, raising to new life, and giving his Holy Spirit. I mean knowing in your heart. Knowing that this applies to you, that the Holy Spirit is our helper who convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. Being so convinced in our heart. And to simplify this application, what that simply means for me is to pray it. Help me to know it, God. Help me to know what this is and to be convinced in my heart. Which leads to the second application. Believe the gospel message. And again, this is not just believing in your mind. Believing in your heart. Believing in such a way that it drives you to action. And again, what these applications are aimed towards is prayer. Asking God, help my unbelief. Help me to know what it means to believe. And help me to know the action that I need to do. The third application point is share the gospel message. And again, this is about being convinced of it. Not just the articulation of the facts, knowing what it is, but sharing it with your lived experience. I think often we get caught up in that we're going to need to know what to say exactly in order for people to understand what the gospel is. But really what they need to see is people living faithfully for God, giving themselves to him, asking the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment and believing in who he is. Asking God, help my unbelief. And so the message of mercy that Jonah gives is really a message of God's design. A message that Jesus too pronounced, not to condemn us, but to give us his spirit so that we may be changed to follow him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the message of mercy. And that you warn us about what is to come so that we may choose you. That we may experience your goodness and mercy. God, I pray that you would convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I pray that we would come to know you and that you would help our unbelief. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.